Howdy, folks, and welcome to the May 15th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm a creepy Kentuckian.
I am Uncle Bill. Fuck yeah! Fuck yeah!
And we're going to do something we've never, ever done on this show. This is going to be a groundbreaking show here in about 20 minutes because it is the format war, Uncle Bill.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody has realized this, but for a long time we've had a long-standing feud about, you know, the merits and the downsides to Blu-ray. So we're going to be talking about DVD versus Blu-ray in this episode.
It's basically going to be an argument.
And yeah, depending on how it goes, we'll probably have other things we'll debate later shows.
Because y'all know Uncle Bill is a master debater.
I am, buddy. I was on the debate team, All-American.
So we're doing that this week. We're taking your phone calls as well. And from here on out, at least for a little while, we'll see how it goes. It's going to be pretty much your topic every week, whatever you want to talk about. Is that right, Uncle Bill?
Yeah, everybody seems to think that's a good idea because, I don't know, people generally just like to call on this and show them bullshit. They don't even care what the topic is about 90% of the time anyway, so I figured we'd just do that.
And a lot of the times I hear people say, what's the topic for this week? They don't even know. So it don't matter.
The topic this week is, you talk about whatever the hell you want to.
Yeah. It's almost like, you remember how Conky from Pee-wee's Playhouse had the word of the day?
Yeah.
You know? Eventually you're going to run out of words.
I don't know about that. We could have just made stuff up after a while. I mean, we could have talked about the best Fred Olin Ray movies or something. Yeah. I mean, there's limitless stuff we could have done with that, but... The bottom line is, though, is it's hard to think of stuff that you haven't already done. Like, once you've done, we do a show a week. We've been doing this for almost 4 years now. We've been doing a call-in for about 3 years now. It's gotten to the point where you start, like I said, I've forgotten a lot of the stuff that I've already said to be on the call-in portion.
So. Right. So, I mean, yeah, and a lot of people never really paid much attention to the call-in portion anyway. They would just call in and talk about what they wanted. But anyway, we got DVDs to get to as well. I know we're talking about My Bloody Valentine 3D, which is a remake of the classic 80s film and actually stars our good buddy Tom Atkins. We'll be talking about that.
And then from the fellows over the distinguished gentlemen over at Rotten Cotton, we've got the newest blaxploitation
Puppet exploitation,
stripper exploitation film to come out.
Big old fake boobies!
Yeah, buddy!
Big fake boobies!
This is Black Devil Doll.
That's right, baby. Those women have got those fake boobies so tight on their chest, if you will. It looks like their flesh is just gonna pop off, baby.
It sure does. It really does look like somebody stuffed a damn cantaloupe down their chest cavity.
Yeah, it sort of looks like if you would maybe cover a bowling ball with a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Or if you like put a condom on a watermelon. Be kind of the same effect.
But it's still boobies, baby.
Yeah,
it's still boobies.
Cody Rhodes.
So anyway, we do have news to get to this week, so we might as well get into it. Speaking of Blu-rays, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later, Warner Home Video, they've announced a quadrilogy of horror Blu-rays to come out September 8th. Now, the biggest one to me on this list is a movie that we actually do have a brand new feature commentary for right now on DeadPit.com, Creepshow. Yeah. And we all know that Michael Slipcase Felcher produced one of the best DVDs for Creepshow.
This is one of those commentaries, though. We just did this one where while we were doing it, it became really obvious to me that we couldn't, like, ever do anything as seamless or as extensive as Michael Felcher done. So the commentary is basically just trying to be funny and saying a bunch of shit. So it worked really well, though, I thought.
But we were picking up a lot of stuff that was in the documentary he did, I guess what you were saying, too. But the shitty thing is, on the Blu-ray, no extra features besides the theatrical trailer. And, I mean, this is just sorry, folks. I mean, we work with Warner Brothers a little bit. There's no excuse for this. You know, that stuff was there for them to use. That would have worked perfect for the Blu-ray edition of Creepshow. Just, it pissed me off, really, that there's nothing on this disc besides the theatrical trailer. I don't know what you think about it.
I expected as much. I mean, Warner Bros. Hasn't really done anything with that title. Like I said, it was Universal that did it in the UK, so.
Yeah, but you also have Freddy vs. Jason on Blu-ray, and I actually have this one on Blu-ray. It was released in Canada, but I've never watched it yet. So it does have the same special features from the DVD version. All of these are pretty much the same special features. You also have Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003 on Blu-ray. Everybody,
can't wait to get that on Blu-ray.
Dying to see that big fat woman.
That whole clan of retard family.
That Rachel Dratch woman running around with that baby.
Rachel Dratch. I'd forgotten all about her. Yeah. She's one of the homeliest looking women you ever see, I think.
And then also they're releasing Snakes on a Plane in HD. So
when are they going to release Snakes on a Train in HD?
I don't know. The Asylum hasn't unleashed any HD goodness
well,
yet.
Well, I'm waiting on. So is that all the Blu-rays are coming out?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Here's another film I couldn't figure out for life of me why the hell this is coming out again. But apparently Lionsgate has decided to put out a new DVD-only special edition of Catherine Bam Bam Bigelow's acclaimed Western vampire opus, Near Dark. It's scheduled for release on July the 7th. Have you seen it? It has a two-disc Anchor Bay special
ultimate
edition,
pretty much.
Like, why the hell would... The only thing I can think of, and if you look at the cover of the DVD...
Who's releasing it again?
Lionsgate.
Well, I mean, they're releasing it because they probably own the rights to it now. Anchor Bay had the...
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, if you look at the cover of the DVD, it looks exactly like Twilight. Like, that's the only reason they're releasing it. Is they're trying to capitalize on that bullshit. And let me tell you something. That movie is nothing like what I would imagine Twilight is.
Uncle Bell's a Twilighter.
Fuck Twilight.
Whatever, buddy. You know you like that shit.
I just like Jared Padalecki.
Paddle Dickey.
Yeah.
Something else really interesting. TBK. He's not Shawn Michaels' brother. Hmm. The Toolbox Murders. It's sort of like a, I guess it's a sequel, directed by Dean Jones and will star Brian Krause, Jeffrey Combs, Tony Todd, Lance Henriksen, and Red West. And it's picking up directly after the events of Tobe Hooper's 2003 version of the Toolbox Murders. TBK intensifies the terrifying exploration into one of Hollywood's most twisted and morbid serial killers in the annals of American history. Survivors Nell and Steven continue their night of hell as they're rushed to a nearby Hollywood Memorial Hospital. Meanwhile, the next generation tech-savvy CSI detectives, Colin Barnes, coordinate a hard-nosed LAPD criminal profiler, McGavin, to exhume TBK's modern-day tomb and uncover its origins, leading toward a shocking revelation involving old Hollywood's seedy underground and one doctor's secret past.
God, that sounds interesting. TBK. TBK. They've got, first of all, TBK sounds like a sandwich at Wendy's would have. And second of all, they've got the whole convention all-stars list as the cast here. You got Jeffrey Combs, Tony Todd, Lance Henriksen. Like all those guys that you know, I like those guys. Those guys, there was a time and a place for all those guys. But if you see people like that in a movie now, you know it's going to be a piece of shit.
Hey, now.
You know I'm right.
How many movies has Jeffrey Combs done with Lance Henriksen? I was trying to think of that, but I... Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, you're right with those guys, because up to a point, Lance Henriksen's movies were... I was always sort of looking forward to them, you know. But, you know, now, it's just like, shit, is he doing another Bigfoot movie, or is this something else?
Yeah. If it's not a Sasquatch film of some kind, then it was something like that one with Tiffany Shepis in it. What was that one called?
That was a Sasquatch movie.
No, that was another one. Dark Reel. He was in that. I draw the line at that movie, okay? That's right there is where I fucking draw the line with Lance Henderson or Tiffany Shepis. That movie.
Fuck that movie.
Fuck the hell.
Well, you know a movie's pretty bad when Tiffany Shepis gets it. She's in it, and she walks out of it. And that did happen.
It did, yeah. Which led to one of the most memorable moments in the history of death. But anyway.
I'm going to tell you, Uncle Ben.
Let's see what we got here. I saw what you did. We got to talk about
that.
And
I know who you are.
Apparently, Joel Silver's Dark Castle is developing a remake to I Saw What You Did for Warner Brothers Pictures to release. Based on 1965, William Castle directed I Saw What You Did, and I Know Who You Are. The story revolves around two girls who innocently pass the time making prank phone calls to unsuspecting people until they call the wrong guy. It says Joan Crawford starred in the original, which is based on an Ursula Curtis novel, Out of Dark. My Bloody Valentine 3D's duo Patrick Luthier and Todd
Luthier.
Jason X. Farmer going to write this one. Luthier is going to direct. Buddy, Todd Farmer needs to stop writing anything.
Yeah. Todd Farmer, you suck.
Every time I see, like, a script's going to be penned by Todd Farmer, I'm like, fuck.
You suck, Todd Farmer. Actually, Todd Farmer, did he write?
Todd Farmer's going to be like, all right, buddy. No, I think he just starred in that, didn't he? He didn't write. Todd he might have written it. He might have written it. I don't know.
No. I thought he was attached to this My Bloody Valentine 3D. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but I didn't see him on the back of there.
He was in it. He was an actor in it. He was the
Todd Farmer was?
Yeah, he was the guy, the bald headed guy that gets the pickaxe in the head.
Oh. Well, that was probably the best thing Todd Farmer's ever done.
Buddy, Todd Farmer's from Kentucky, too, which is another thing that sucks about him being
such a shit. Hey, we tried to be nice to Todd Farmer. We asked him on the show, you know, which I think for somebody at his level, that should be a compliment.
What are you talking about at his level, buddy? Todd Farmer's a big deal.
Yeah, he wrote Jason X.
He did. He's going to write, I saw what you did.
And I know who you are. Anyway, we're going to take a break right now, though. But we do have a brand new edition, Uncle Bill, of Beck.
To the future.
Hello, everyone. I'm Adam Beck, and welcome to this week's edition of Beck to the Future.
Concentrate, Tina.
The one you've been dying for.
You people give me the creeps.
This week, back in 1988, Paramount released the John Carl Beekler film, Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, a.k.a. Jason vs. Carrie. The film was released in 1,796 theaters and opened number one, taking in $8.2 million. This, of course, was the first film featuring Kane Hodder as the machete-wielding zombie Jason.
When a cop turns killer, no one is safe.
You see a cop, you cross to the other side of the street.
He'll find you, wherever you are.
My squad.
He'll destroy you, whoever you are.
Walk out of your cell, you killed them all.
It wasn't me, it was somebody else.
This very same weekend, you had the right to remain silent. Forever. When Shapiro Glickenhaus released Bill Lustig's cult classic, Maniac Cop, in 50 theaters, the film took in over $188,000 and went on to make $671,000 in theaters. This is a rather cool film, which has Tom Atkins playing a role lifted straight from Night of the Creeps, and Robert Zadar playing the maniac cop himself, Matt Cordell. I have to say that from all of the horror conventions I've attended and all of the celebrities I've met, Robert Zadar has been the only guy I've ever been too scared to approach. And finally, this week back in 1990, Taurus Entertainment released the Mark Lester film Class of 1999 in 320 theaters. Due to its limited release, the film opened number 13, taking in more than $767,000 its opening weekend. It would go on to make $2.4 million in theaters. If you haven't seen this one, you have to check it out. It stars Bradley Gregg from A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors, as well as that little fucker Joshua Miller from Near Dark. It's a really fun movie about cyborg teachers who are brought in to control a high school overrun by gangs. And when some of the students end up getting killed, all hell breaks loose. Anyway, that's it for the releases this week. I'm Adam Beck, and I'll see you back here next week for Beck to the Future.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. A lot of people are wondering what's next for the directors of Inside, Julian Mari and Alexandra Busio. Well, I've got a scoop for you guys. Paris-based La Fabrique de Films,
La Fabrique,
will produce Livid, the next film from Julian Mari and Alexandra Busio. Of Inside.
Alexandra!
Marking the duo's English language debut. Livid is set for a September shoot in Ireland. Billed as a dark romantic fairy tale, Livid turns on three young men who decide to rob an elderly woman's house in the Irish Heathlands. Mori and Bastille have completed the screenplay. Inside director of photography, Laurent Bears, will repeat as cinematographer. And the film is budgeted at $8.5 million. Livid is scheduled for release in the spring of 2010.
Here's the thing, though. With those guys, like, there's so much good stuff coming out of France right now that if they don't do something else soon, they're going to be surpassed by a lot of these other guys that are coming out. I mean,
yeah, I know Frenchie Martin's working on his.
He is.
When we were talking about that, we may have, because we do have connections. I mean, Dino Bravo's widow is a big fan of the show. I don't know if you know this or not.
Helen Bravo.
And she got us in touch with Frenchie Martin. We may have an interview, hopefully within next week, couple of weeks. Frenchie Martin, he's working up in Quebec on this new film called Cavaliers. And we're both really excited to talk to Frenchie.
So, we might have something more about that later, though. Here's a film, though, that comes to us from the Hell of the Living Remakes, which is a film that I never thought in a million years would be remade, Mother's Day. There's going to be a Mother's Day remake. It's going to be...
Sure.
It's going to be, apparently, Darren Lynn Boozman is going to be the director of a loose remake based on Charles Kaufman, who may or may not exist, Lloyd Kaufman's supposed brother, 1980 trauma film cult horror classic, which follows a family of villains led by a smart, manipulative, and sadistic mother who returned to a house where they grew up and terrorized the new owners and their guests. Apparently, Scott Millam penned the script, and a Mother's Day 2010 release date is planned.
Wow.
Isn't that neat?
The remake news for this week isn't over with yet.
Oh no.
Because there's been buzz about this for a long time, but the Hollywood Reporter now confirms that a remake of 1985's vampire favorite, Fright Night, is now in development. DreamWorks has lined up to release the film, which will be produced by Michael DeLuca, Michael Gallada, and Allison Rosenzweig. The new version will reportedly retain the original scary, funny approach while predictably modernizing the effects.
What does that mean, Uncle Bill? What does that mean?
It means CG!
CG! It's getting the computer and fuck shit up!
I can't wait to do some CG in this.
And a writer and director have yet to be announced for the project. DeLuca and Rosenzweig are also working on updates to supernatural thrillers Angel Heart and the reincarnation of Peter Proud.
Really?
Yeah. That's a porno.
It has to be, yeah. It's like saying the reincarnation of my balls.
That's Proud Peter Proud.
But, for all the people out there that were thinking that Rob Zombie was going to do irreparable damage to the Halloween franchise with his next film, H2.
He'll fought that.
Yeah, I mean, for all the naysayers out there that thought that, buddy, here, right here is a quote directly from the man himself, all right? He says, look, bulls, there are more shots of Michael Myers running around in this mask in this movie than any of the other movies. He says, I don't think anybody has to worry about anything, so fuck you. He said that in this quote.
It's killer. Did he really say that?
No.
I was going to say that'd been awesome.
But I kind
of fucking start liking him then. Fuck you guys.
I kind of took a little liberties with the quote there, but it was something to that effect. He does say that he will have the mask on more in this movie than any other. I don't know exactly what that means, but because if you think about it, I mean, in all the Halloween movies, you very rarely see Michael Myers anyway, because he kind of pops in and out towards the end of the films normally. So, I mean, I guess theoretically he could have it on more throughout the whole film than any other movie.
I think what Rob Zombie's trying to do with this is trying to sort of mix movies. Like, he wants to make Halloween 2, but, you know, he wants to give Michael Myers a little bit of a adventure aspect. You know, he's on the road trip. So it's going to be a little bit like, I don't know, Indiana Jones or something, too. Indiana Jones and Michael Myers mixed.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it going to be like Dutch?
He's on a journey.
Halloween.
Yeah.
You remember Dutch, don't you? Yeah. That's a classic road movie right there.
Yeah, it's like the best movie Ed O'Neill's ever in.
I think it was the only movie I can ever remember Ed O'Neill
being
in.
He was in Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't really any in that movie, though.
Yeah.
Is Dutch the only movie he ever starred in?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. And it was a big bomb, too.
Yeah. The movie's great, though. I don't care what anybody says.
Another remake. Priyana.
Priyana.
That'd be a good name.
That sounds like a diva or something in WWE.
It's Priyana. Hello. All the bitches in the house say yeah. And they show one of their titties in their ass. Yes.
Piranha 3D. Christopher Lloyd has joined the quickly growing cast of this 3D remake, which is currently lensing under the direction of Alexandra Ozia. Lloyd, who you might remember is Doc Brown in the Back to the Future franchise, will star as Goodman, an expert on piranhas, or piranha. A new type of terror is to be cut loose on beautiful Lake Victoria after a sudden underwater tremor sets free scores of prehistoric man-eating fish. An unlikely group of strangers must band together and stop themselves from becoming fish food for the area's new Razor Tooth residents.
The more I hear about this movie, the more it just seems like a movie that'll never come out. Like, the people that they get in it and stuff.
Buddy, what the hell? It's got Christopher Lloyd in it.
It just seems so random that it, I don't know. I don't know if that's going
to
work.
It seems to me that it's going to be like one of those, if you look at like Lake Placid, one of those type of movies. Because that had a weird cast, too. It had Betty White in it.
It did. I actually liked that movie a lot, though. It had Bridget Fonda and Bill Pullman. Bill Pullman's a damn acting legend.
Is he really?
Yeah. He was in Independence Day.
Was he the president?
He was.
President Bill Pullman.
I don't have any more stories, though.
Well, that's fine, buddy. We want to talk about some screenings and a couple of conventions this weekend. Opening nationally, Angels and Demons.
That was Tom Hanks.
It's pissing off Christians again. I love it.
I don't know if people realize just how much Catholics hate those fucking movies, but they do. It's awesome to me that they hate those movies so much that anybody can hate anything that much is amazing.
Also, we have two conventions in Kentucky, Uncle Bill, this week. We're not going to either one of them.
Oh, Mudlick Convention?
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
We do have Wonderfest in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's mainly like a toy show, pretty much. They do have some guests. I think they're doing a small alien reunion with, like, Veronica Cartwright. It's like the whole How can you do a reunion with, like, one guest?
You can't call that a reunion. I'm sorry.
Although they do have Tom Woodruff Jr., who did a lot of the effects work in the Alien sequels, I think, and maybe he did the first Alien, but You also have, like, Steve Johnson, effects guy. He's done a ton of stuff. I thought that was a pretty cool guest. And not a whole lot else, really. I mean, there's a couple people here and there. Like, Bob Burns is still there, the guy that owns the original armature for King Kong. Mm-hmm. You'll have that on display, I guess.
Saying that you're going to do an Alien reunion and then have Veronica Cartwright is a bit like saying you're going to do a Pee Wee's Big Adventure reunion and just getting Large Marge.
Large Marge is dead.
Exactly.
And also, you got to show this some support. This is the World Independent Film Expo, Uncle Bill. You know who the guest of honor is that?
George Vanilla.
Well, co-guest Buddy, of honor.
Let me tell you something.
Jim O'Rear. Fuck.
Here's the thing, though, with that, with wife, is a lot of people that we know are going to be there, so we have to support the convention. It's going to be chock full of independent stars, though. I think Stacey Gillespie's going to be there.
Stacey T.
And, who was the kid? The fat kid from Return of Swamp Thing?
Yeah,
he's going to be there.
Yeah. Isn't it something David Emery Taylor or something like that?
Who else is going to be there?
And you're also going to have everybody's got a price because it's Heather Price. She's going to be there.
The price is right. You've got
You're
talking about Cherokee Hall.
Cherokee Hall, buddy. He's going to be there. We got Billy Blackwell. He's
Buffalo.
Buffalo Billy Blackwell. It's going to be a hell of a good time. So, yeah. Let us know how it goes, fellas.
So, anyway. Those are a couple conventions in Kentucky. I can't believe that we'll end up having four conventions at least in Kentucky.
Well, those are more like film festival. Well, one of them's a film fest, one of them's like a toy show.
You know what? They both got guests, though.
That's true.
So let's see.
We were never invited to either one of those, Uncle Bill.
Shut up. We were invited to one of them at least. Weren't we? Were we ever invited to that?
No.
You mean tell me nobody invited us to WIFE?
No.
Anyway, as far as DVD releases go, for May the 19th, there's not a whole hell of a lot coming out, but I'll try to give you the highlights, because I don't want to go through all this crap. You got Death by Temptation, new special edition from Troma. You've got The Devil's Ground from Anchor Bay. You've got Infected from Genius. You got The Last Horror Film special edition from Troma, which is, I hope we actually get around to watching that with Joe Spinell.
We're going to.
The Machinist, Blu-ray from Paramount. My Bloody Valentine, 2009 regular and special edition DVDs from Lionsgate. Nightmare Castle from Severn. Outlander from the Weinstein Company. True Blood, the complete first season 5 Blu-ray set from HBO. And I guess that's about all of the important releases on DVDs.
We're going to take a break. We're going to get back because it's almost time to ring that bell because it's going to be a format war.
Let's do this shit.
After this break here on Dead Pills.
Dead Goom.
It is written that when the moon turns red, the dead shall stalk the earth.
Get away from the dead thing!
Of the dead. Their time has come. Revenge of the dead. No one under 17 admitted without parent or certified adult guardian.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to a very special portion of Dead Pit Radio, where we're going to be discussing something near and dear to both our hearts, DVD or Blu-ray.
I know a lot of people out there are probably trying to make a decision whether or not they want to invest their hard-earned money into a new format. And we're going to help you along with your decision, as I'm going to win this argument, and everybody's going to go buy Blu-ray.
Yeah. So, I think everybody already knows a lot of the merits of DVD. I think we both have a massive DVD collection. I don't know how much I need to stand up for DVD at this point, but I will, however, have fun degrading Blu-ray.
I think the whole thing is whether or not DVD is good enough for you, or if you want to...
Like Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. If you want to move forward with another format, or if you're going to wait on possibly even a better format than Blu-ray, which if that comes along, that'll probably be, you know, a good 10 years away, I would guess.
Well, here's the thing with Blu-ray, though. Even if you don't wait for another format to come along, you could at least wait until some of this shit goes down in price. Because here's my problem with Blu-ray. You don't got a problem with Blu-ray because all the goddamn Blu-rays you get are free. But for anybody out there that was actually going to have to buy these Blu-rays,
well,
we're talking about upwards of $30-$35 for each damn one of them.
Fuck, bullshit.
Look new at release like, title. New release title. You tell me how much in some
release titles are. Are starting to pop up now at Walmart for
$25. $25 at Walmart. A lot of people, they don't even go to Walmart. They go to FYE. Well, they're going to be $45 there.
Your memory must really suck, motherfucker, because remember when DVDs just came out? They were around the same price range.
That's the thing, though. The thing is that with DVDs, you didn't have to buy all this other shit you have to buy with Blu-rays. For example, okay, what do you have to have? You can tell everybody. To get the viewing experience from a goddamn Blu-ray.
Okay. Here's what you have to have. A TV. Now, the only way you're going to
no,
get...
No, not just a regular TV.
No, you can watch it on a regular TV. It will not be broadcast in high definition unless you have HD TV.
Okay, so there's about $1,000 if you get like a small 32-inch one.
Yeah. And if you want to get... Most everybody has a home theater system. You know, HD works with home theater, any home theater system.
Now, what exactly would you classify as a home theater
5.1 system?
5.1 system.
Okay. I would say the average consumer probably has a 5.1 system.
Really?
On average.
Okay.
I'm not talking about average around here. I'm
talking I was thinking
about
like
average in general. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Average around here, these motherfuckers are probably using tin cans to talk back and forth.
They're using Dixie cups.
Yeah. So that's what you need. But the thing about the TV is, I understand if you don't have the money for a TV, but you cannot deny that HD TVs is all there is now. It's all going HD. You can't deny that. You can't deny the fact that HD TV itself, almost every major network and channel you can think of is broadcasting HD on HD TV. You actually have HD TV at your house, and you have never discussed that.
I do have an HD TV at my house. This is true. I think the main reason that I got an HDTV is because that's really all they had. I mean, at that point in time, this was not too long ago, probably about 2-3 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, everything's going HD. You can't buy a standard def TV really anymore unless you get a really small one that's a portable one. That's really the only kind you can get. So,
how much is a Blu-ray player itself right now?
You can get them around $200, as cheap as you can get them right now.
Okay. So, you gotta get the TV. You gotta get the damn Blu-ray player, which is expensive as fuck. You gotta get...
It ain't that much more expensive than a good DVD player.
Now, wait a minute. If you want, and you know this is true, if you want to get the viewing experience out of a Blu-ray player, you gotta buy the cords too now. You gotta have the HDMI fucking cords. Now, how much are those things?
Look, most quality Blu-ray players come with HDMI cables. Everybody knows that.
All right, so let's assume that you got all this stuff. You got a Blu-ray player. And by the way, a lot of people don't know this, but in order to really tell a big difference in Blu-ray, all the experts recommend that you have a television above 42 inches. So, you have to have a 42-inch television.
You don't have to.
You have to be sitting 6 feet away from it, according to this shit. So you have to, like, position your chairs.
You do some fucking research or something.
I did. Because I wanted to know exactly what I was getting into with this.
Look, I think you're... All right.
But that's not even the main point of my argument, okay? The main point of my argument is, even if you wanted to go with Blu-ray, Blu-ray is so new right now that you know all this shit's going to go down in price eventually. So why in the hell would you want to get Blu-ray right now?
Well, it just depends on where you go. I mean, I think a lot of the online stores have great deals right now. You can go to iNet Video. They have brand new Blu-rays for, you know, as cheap as $6.99 a piece. But as far as the mainstream movie titles go, you know, this is going to keep, the prices will stay that way until everyone gets more familiar with Blu-ray in general. And more people get a player, more people will be buying the movies, they'll lower the price. That's how it worked with DVD, and that's how it's going to work with Blu-ray. Now, the thing about Blu-ray that I like is, unlike a lot of the other formats, like a Laserdisc or Beta and all that shit, Blu-ray, you can still play your old DVDs in it, okay? So, if you break your player, if you don't have a DVD player anymore, you need a new DVD player, you already have an HDTV, right? Why not just go ahead and get a Blu-ray player that plays both?
Here's the thing, though. In order for the prices to be lowered like you're talking about, you said yourself that there's going to have to be a massive amount of people that start to buy Blu-ray. Now, when it shifted from VHS to DVD, I mean, that was a huge shift. You didn't have to rewind
shit. And
it
took a while, though. It took a while for it to catch on.
It was a completely different format. You didn't have to rewind shit. You had interactive menus. It was a lot more durable product. The shift from, like, DVD to Blu-ray is not really that substantial. If you think about, like, it has all the same features. It's the main thing they're getting over on with it is the fact it has better picture quality. But in order to have better picture
quality
and better
sound,
you have to buy like a ton of shit to be able to get that picture quality and sound.
Well, that's if people don't already have HDTVs. Now, if anybody's bought a new TV in the last 4 or 5 years, odds are it's an HDTV of some sort, whether it's like an LCD, a plasma or projection screen, it's probably an HDTV. So odds are within the next 5 or 6 years, once everybody gets an LCD TV, I've noticed this, I don't know if you notice this, whenever somebody buys an LCD TV, my next purchase is a Blu-ray player because I want to have the best quality picture possible. Now, DVD looks fine on HDTV, but if you have an HDTV, it's in HD. You want to experience the best quality you can with that HDTV. You want to show it off, right? And I don't think you'd argue that. So most people, after they get the HDTV, they'll be buying the Blu-ray player within a couple months.
To me, it's always been like an issue of how much better, or how much, I guess, how much do I care about how much better that one, like a Blu-ray looks than a DVD? Because I'll be honest, like, you can tell the difference between a Blu-ray and a DVD, but is it substantial enough that I won't have to spend the amount of money and go through, you know, all the different shit that you have to upgrade all this stuff? And the answer for me, anyway, has been no, thus far, no. And plus, if it's going to take, like you said, 5 years, this is by your estimation, it's going to take 5 years for people to really catch on to Blu-ray and for that to become like, by that time, there'll be something else that'll come along. Just like that was about the amount of time that it took for DVD to go to Blu-ray.
I think the only thing on the horizon is not really anything revolutionary. It's just your digital download of movies. And we don't want it to go to that. I don't think you do either.
No, although that probably is where it's going. I mean, because I hate watching shit on computers anyway.
But you're not, if that does happen, that would be standard def. I mean, downloading because a Blu-ray disc is like 50 gigabytes of space. So you're not going to be downloading high-quality HD shit. But I don't think it's going to go that way. I think along the lines of DVD that this is just going to catch on more and more because DVD came out in 1997. A lot of people don't realize it came out that long ago. And see, I mean, and they haven't really even reached the tip of the iceberg as far as like the shit you can do with a Blu-ray yet. I mean, they're still releasing updates on the Blu-rays.
Yeah, and that's another thing though that's kind of aggravating about Blu-ray players too is you constantly have to upload that fucking, what is it, firmware or shareware or something?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, some of the older Blu-ray players, if you have that, you'll have to do that. But the newer ones, like I have a PlayStation 3 that has a Wi-Fi connection that automatically, you know, does everything itself. And, you know, I get what you're saying, that a lot of people aren't going to really give a shit about the picture quality that much. But I think that there's a lot of people also that will, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a split thing. It's sort of like DVD. I mean, some people didn't really give a shit at first either, but it just caught on and prices went down. People started buying them like crazy.
I think right now it's contained to such a point where the only people that really get into that kind of stuff and buy all the stuff that you need to really experience Blu-ray like everybody says you could experience are like the technophile people that are people that watch a ton of movies or people that are really into like technology and stuff like that. That's the people that I notice that really switch over. As far as like mainstream people, like just the average Joe kind of person, it's really not caught on. How long has Blu-ray been out? Like, it's been out for at least 2 years.
I think it came out in like fall of 2006.
Since the, how long is the HD Blu-ray war? How long did that shit go on? That went on forever.
It went on until about, what was it, last winter or something.
Yeah, but I mean, before that, how long were both those formats like fighting between each other? Because it seemed like forever.
It was like about a year and a half, something like that. Hmm. But like I was saying though, I mean, as far as the extras and just the features, and they have like a lot of the picture-in-picture features that they can't do on DVD, and a lot of the BD Live stuff, like if you have an internet connection, you can watch exclusive features that can be updated online, and you can get, you know, internet connectivity, I guess, with Blu-ray. So it's better.
Shit. And another thing too, though, and this is a personal matter for me and probably for a lot of people out there that are like movie nerds and stuff. It's gotten to the point where it seems to me like it would be a huge waste of my time and my money, since I've already got like, I don't even know how many fucking DVDs I've got now. It's probably a shameful thing to say, but I don't want to give up my DVDs and switch to another format.
Who says you have to?
Well, you know what I mean. Like, if you were some motherfucker back in the day and you had like 3,000 VHS tapes and DVD came along, I don't think you'd want to switch over.
Here's the difference, though. You can play your DVDs on Blu-ray player.
That's true. But a lot of people talk about the upcoding process and all that stuff, about how much better it is. But don't fucking TVs normally do that anyway? Like, if you've got a good television, doesn't it upcode the shit too?
No, you have DVD players that are out that have the upscaling ability or whatever.
Yeah.
But not TVs.
Okay, so you get DVD players that can kind of do the same thing then.
Yeah, what the fuck though? You're going to spend the same amount of money, or maybe a little bit less, when you can get a Blu-ray player as well.
Like I said, okay, if you got a Blu-ray player, you spent the, okay, let's just say that you spend a one-time fee of like $300 or whatever, how much a Blu-ray player is. It's not really the Blu-ray player that's the problem, as far as cost stuff. It's the goddamn Blu-rays right now that's the problem.
Well, you can rent Blu-rays. You know who says you have to buy them?
You don't rent shit. You won't rent anything. Why don't you rent stuff?
You don't rent anything either.
Sitting over talking about rent, you never rent anything in your life.
Well, buddy, I get shit for free.
See, that's what it comes down to right there, folks.
Man, look, Blu-rays are not that much higher than DVDs, if you know where to look. They're really not. You know, I mean, if you go to Best Buy and look for Blu-rays, yeah, you're going to pay a fuckload, because Best Buy's higher than shit. But if you wait around a little while, like I just got a Final Destination Blu-ray, I actually did buy this one. $14.99, brand new. And it just came out. The Blu-ray just came out.
You know how many DVDs I can buy for $14.99 now? I can buy 5 DVDs from Big Lots for the same price.
Yeah, but every one of them suck.
They're all awesome, too.
You gonna buy a fucking Alien Hunter?
That movie's killer. Fuck you.
But
so, here's what I'm gonna say. I don't know how long this has been, how long a segment has been.
We're gonna start fucking arguing now.
But why not, since you know for a fact that something else is gonna come along in 5 years.
But you do not know for a fact something's going to come along in 5 years.
Logic will tell you, with the speed of the technology is going right now, something else is going to come along in 5 years.
What
why
is
not?
Super HD?
Why not just wait, hold on to the DVDs that you got right now until that fucking thing comes along, and then you won't have a bunch of Blu-rays that you spent $35 or $40 on laying around that you can't do shit with now anyway.
Okay, let me remind you of something here, motherfucker. Remember when we were having a similar argument a few years ago? You were sort of making fun of me for only wanting to get widescreen DVDs.
I still make fun of you for that. I still think it's silly. And I've got a widescreen television.
Have you ever tried to watch a full screen movie on a widescreen TV?
I have. I don't care.
You're dumb, man.
No.
You're fucking stupid.
I just don't give a shit that much.
And look. You know, okay, by DVD standards, okay, if you give DVD... when it came out, about 2.5 years, okay, you'd be in the middle of 1999 DVDs. DVDs weren't that available then, were they?
In 1999?
Yeah.
I think, I don't even remember, to be honest. Like, I didn't even get into DVDs till past 2000, at least.
Yeah. And, I mean, you can't really take, you can't judge a whole lot. I know that DVD, or that Blu-ray has caught on. And you can't deny this, man. It is fucking caught on. If there's a decent size section of Blu-rays in our Walmart.
Well, I know the marketing is caught on. Like, they're putting all kinds of money behind. I don't know how much it's actually catching on with people because, like, you're the only person I know that actually has Blu-ray. So how the fuck am I going to know that?
Buddy, how do you know? Have you actually asked anybody else if they have Blu-ray?
I mean, all the other people that I know, I'm pretty sure don't have Blu-ray.
You don't know.
They could. But even, like, that's not something that comes up a lot. Like, you got Blu-ray yet, motherfucker?
Well, do you ask them if they have DVD? A lot of motherfuckers around here don't even have DVD player.
The point I'm trying to make is the only thing that we're both gauging how Blu-ray is doing on is not the people that have Blu-ray. It's how much marketing and shit is going behind Blu-ray.
And it's how much better Blu-ray is than DVD. And I think, in my opinion, personally, if it comes to a new movie... if you watch a movie like The Dark Knight on Blu-ray and then compare it to the DVD, you're going to say the DVD looks like dog shit. You are. I mean, the common person's going to say that because on these, and especially these new big-budget mainstream movies, they just look, they look superior. And that no shit to DVD. They're superior, Uncle Bill.
You remember Pepsi Clear when that came
That's
out?
That's Crystal Pepsi, son.
Oh, I'm sorry, Crystal Pepsi. It's the same thing, though. Like, that something came out.
No, it's fucking not.
It's like, this is new. This looks futuristic as fuck right here. And then people began to realize, wait a minute. Pepsi's all right. I don't need a fucking Crystal Pepsi. It's the same thing with Blu-ray, buddy. There's nothing wrong with DVD. There's no fucking reason in the world.
Crystal Pepsi to Blu-ray.
That's right.
How does that make any sense at all?
That's a perfect comparison. One's a lot clearer than the other one.
You stick a can of Crystal Pepsi up your ass.
Let me tell you something.
Sense at all.
I'll piss on the fucking coated portion of all your Blu-rays. How'd that be?
Look here, buddy. Look here. If it wasn't for me, your ass would still be watching those Betamax tapes in your basement.
I never had Betamax. I wish I did, though. I didn't need to.
So anyway, I guess we've rambled on enough for this little segment. And I know that you all... we'll go out and support Blu-ray because it is the best choice. It's the has the best picture quality, the best theatrical audio you can get.
And I know that all of my humble followers will still support DVD and take a big shit on Blu-ray.
I'm going to fucking blow a load on DVD.
I'm going to wipe my butt with your Blu-rays.
No, I'll make you lick my Blu-rays clean.
No, now.
So, anyway, we will be back. We're going to take some phone calls. We're going to read some fan questions. We're going to have a whole hell of a lot of fun here on DeadBeard.com.
When you were a child, did they warn you about the boogeyman?
You're not going to scare me.
It had its own power.
The boogeyman. Now, the most terrifying nightmare of childhood returns. By the time they believe it, it'll be too late. The boogeyman. Rated R.
This concrete carpet is cold wall to wall. These neon rainbows hold no gold at all. You've got the night, you've got the moon, you've got the tears, right much too.
Welcome back, folks, to Dead Pit Radio. This is the fan portion, where we take your phone calls, read you some questions here from our good buddy, Lux Cool, a.k.a. Filthy Phil Pine, who wants to know, I don't remember how, but did, says, I don't remember, but how did you guys meet Jay Real, with him living in Texas and you guys in Kentucky? He says, I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Hmm. There's an interesting story behind that. One day, I think, when we started doing the call-in portion, he just kind of started calling in. I know we reviewed his film, Dawn, on the show. I can't remember if he sent it to us after he started listening to the show. It I guess that's how it worked.
I think Tempe. We actually just got it from Tempe.
Okay.
And he must have just been checking all the reviews out online and come across the show. I mean, I'm not for sure if that's... that's how it happened or not, but, you know, the funny thing about Jay at first, because he did such a good job in Dawn, and he plays sort of like this paraplegic, what is it? Or he's not a paraplegic, he's like a...
he walks in the
he's
field,
got
I'm pretty
MS,
sure.
Yeah. Multiple sclerosis. And I was just convinced that he really did have MS, you know. And we were like, I remember saying something to him about, I remember him like, you know, at least you're not checking out porn or something like that. And I'm like, God damn, why in the hell did I say that to a fucking crippled guy? He couldn't play with his dong anyway, you know. And I felt bad about that, but I mean, I actually found out that that was all acting. You know, Jay wasn't really crippled or anything. So.
I think initially we were like, wow, here's this guy that's, you know, riddled with this disease, and he's actually got the courage to make this film and star in it and all that stuff. And then we were talking to him one time. I remember this was on like a call-in portion, and he was like, oh, ain't shit wrong with me. Something to that effect, anyway.
Yeah, which is funny.
But oh, yeah.
Anyway, we do have a lot of people calling in, so it's might as well go ahead and talk to them.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Jerry Horace.
Oh, God, this is supposed to be your turn heel promo, right?
Yes, sir. I'm going to piss off Moose. So I think there's going to be a heel turn going on tonight here.
All right. Give it to us.
I don't know. Like, I've just been noticing a lot lately for the past couple of months. Like, the main thing is, like, what the fuck is wrong with horror fans these days? Like, when did it become such a... I don't know, like such a chore or such a big deal, if you will, to become a horror fan. Like, people that sit at home and critique and nitpick every little thing about these movies, like every jack-off now with a fucking YouTube account and a webcam is making videos and reviews of movies and, like, I've just seen people just constantly bash and criticize things left and right. And I don't know, I'm just pretty sick of it, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not figuring out anybody in particular, no disrespect to nobody, but it just seems to me that, like, I don't know if this is a new trend that everyone is hopping on. But I don't know, it's like being a horror movie fan is just not fun anymore, it seems. Like, I don't know if horror movie fans lost their smile to fucking channel Shawn Michaels. But, you know, I don't know what's going on. But, you know, these movies are about kicking back, popping in a cheap fucking movie, drinking a beer, smoking a joint, eating some popcorn or whatever your preference is, and just having a good time with it. It seems to me that these days, everyone got a stick up their ass and is too worried about promoting their YouTube page and, you know, just whipping things to pieces and just having a good time with these fucking movies. And not make sure it's a big deal about every little single detail in the movie. Like, do they sit there with a piece of paper and a pad and dissect, you know, shit that goes on in these movies?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just noticed that recently a lot of this has been going on.
Well, I've noticed it for a long time. It's been going on pretty much since message boards and the internet has been around, I think.
I mean, I don't think it's a recent thing. I mean, the YouTube, I agree with you on the YouTube. There's a lot more people on YouTube now doing it, but I mean, shit, man, the IMDb message boards have been around for like, you know, over a decade now, and that's all they do on theirs, bitch. So.
Yeah, so that's true too, but I don't know, it just seems like the past couple months, it just, like, that's a new phase now, that everyone, you know, tries to be cool and tries to be hip and, you know, makes a YouTube account and makes a branch off. Like, I mean, you know, like I said, no disrespect, no bashing nobody in particular, but, you know, a lot of people that listen to your show, they went off and did their own, you know, little horror websites or whatever they have now, and that's cool, more power to them. But, man, you know, years ago, like, especially in the 80s, you guys know better because you're a little older than I am, like, it wasn't like this. You know, you go to your mom-and-pop video store, you pick out the coolest-looking horror movie you could find, and you pop it in and you watch it. That's what these movies are about. You know, a movie, for example, like, I don't know, Don't Go in the Woods. To most people, yeah, it's a shitty movie. Maybe it is a shitty movie. But the bottom line is it's a fun movie. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of these horror movies are. Of course, they're not well acted. Of course, they're not well scripted, well thought out. Whatever the case may want to be, whatever people want to say. But they're made for entertainment. They're made for fun. They're made for us to escape our miserable, wretched, fucking daily lives and sit down for an hour and a half and escape and just have a good time. And people seem to, I don't know, have forgotten that, or I don't know what the deal is.
Well,
but, you know, it just seems to me that these days it's constantly bash, 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 bash. And, you know, like, for example, like, I'm sick to death of talking about it. I'm sick of listening people talk about it. But, I don't know, for example, Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to bring that up. This may piss some people off, but I'm going to say it. Rob Zombie's Halloween, if you just look at it by itself, is a pretty decent, entertaining movie. Just by itself. Not comparing it to John Carpenter or to the original Halloween or anything like that. But it's, you know, if you're just sitting and watching it, it's a pretty decent, fun movie just to kick back and watch.
I mean, in your opinion, it is.
in my opinion, but like people that say, "Oh, Rob Zombie destroyed Halloween," and Rob Zombie, man, the series has been fucked since 1988. I don't know if people noticed that or not. The last decent, really good Halloween movie was in 1988 or so. Halloween 4, 7, 6, I like, but they totally fucked up the series. They went way off. Resurrection and H2O were two pieces of shit. In my opinion, I hate those movies. I dislike them. I find no joy or entertainment in them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's sort of like, I don't know, I mean, if you compare them to, like, comparing H2 or Halloween Resurrection to Rob Zombie's Halloween, it's sort of like picking between what would you rather taste, you know, dog shit or cat piss, you know? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, but, I mean, would you want to see Michael Myers, I guess, as he was in Rob Zombie's Halloween, or Michael Myers having a karate match with fucking Busta Rhymes, getting his ass kicked and walking away from him? I mean, you know, of course, it's 6-1, half dozen the other, but I think with Rob Zombie, like, people talk mad shit about him, people say this, like, he said things and did another, but at the end of the day, they're waving a fucking paycheck in front of his face with millions of dollars in front of it.
Well, look at it like this, though, man. I mean, you can't really get that upset about anything unless you're really passionate about it. And I think that horror fans are probably the most passionate about series and remakes and stuff like that. They're the only people I can really think of that really get fucking pissed off, mad about, you know, when people try to do remakes of the classic films. And just in general, they seem to stay mad more so than any other type of fan. So I don't mind it that much. I think that as long as they have that kind of passion for the genre, it'll continue to go on.
And getting back to the Halloween thing, which I agree has been, we've talked about that enough, really. But you'd have a John Carpenter movie back in 1978 called Halloween. Then you bring out a movie, you know, nearly 20 years later that's just simply called Halloween. Okay. And it's just the differences in the quality of those movies. I think anybody could tell what the better movie was. I'd hope so, at least.
Of course. There's not a doubt in anybody's mind. But the point is, you know, so you can actually sit and enjoy the movie, or at least try to, for some aspect of it, is you cannot compare it at all to John Carpenter's Halloween. You have to try, when you're watching that movie, to erase John Carpenter's Halloween from your mind completely.
That's almost impossible, though, man. It's got the same characters and the guy with the mask and shit running around.
Well, yeah, I know, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like, you just can't, like, compare, oh, this happened in Halloween, but now this is happening in Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Well,
like, it doesn't even pay to compare, because there is none, so just try to enjoy it and take it for what it is. And people are just bashing this movie. So, like, I mean, yeah, it's been 2 years now. I know it's old news. But, like, I don't know. I sat it, I watched it, and I really, you know, paid attention to what the hell was going on. And I know, honestly, at the end of the day, it's really, I think it's not all that bad. Like, the point of view shots of Michael Myers, there's a few cool ones, you know, that he threw in there, and shit like that. But, you know, like, getting back to my original point is, you know, I think these days people should just try to enjoy themselves a little bit more and not be so negative about every single thing that they're watching.
I kind of agree with that, but I think people enjoy bitching. So in a way, they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah. But, man, Jerry, we appreciate you calling. We're going to try to take some more calls.
That's no problem. Definitely. Always good talking to you. And just one last thing. Anyone listening to this that didn't like anything I said, you guys can stick it, brother. Hulk Hogan bastard the beats, man, you say.
Right. See you, man.
Thanks for calling.
Take care, guys.
See you.
I heard a fucking
fucking New York over here.
You could tell, too, there's like a police car in the background.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Fucking Red Hook.
We do have quite a bit of people calling, but let's get fan questions, Uncle Bill.
All right, let's see here. Oh, Lord. Rambo Fan writes in and he says, "Hey, sirs, just a few questions for you, two for Uncle Bill and one for both of you." So the first one is, Uncle Bill, are you ever thinking of putting any videos under your Dead Pit Bill moniker on YouTube? No, because here's the only reason why. The actual Dead Pit YouTube account actually has a director's account, and I can never keep anything under 10 minutes. So it wouldn't do me any good to post a bunch of shit on mine since I couldn't. I mean, most of my videos average around 15 minutes on there anyway, so I'd rather just keep it on there for that simple reason.
Plus, we have the Dead Pit YouTube because it's beneficial to Dead Pit.
Yeah, and that too. So also, Uncle Bill, would you buy a Guitar Hero game if it was Guitar Hero AC/DC? Like they have Guitar Hero Metallica and Guitar Hero Aerosmith. They actually do have a Guitar Hero AC/DC Live, like add-on pack, which I already have, which I actually bought right around the same time I bought the Guitar Hero. So I've got that too. I haven't ever played it, but I've got it.
You homo.
So he says, I was watching your Rob Zombie Halloween review and a comment that someone left on there made me want to ask you guys this question. The certain person was bitching about your review, saying, what did you want, a carbon copy of the original? I honestly never understood that argument. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's good. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on that type of statement, because I keep hearing it over and over again. That's kind of funny that you got a question about Halloween after that call.
You know, one thing Jerry said was true. There seriously are all kinds of idiots on YouTube. And most of them just are like trolls that just comment on shit. Like they're probably 14 or 15 and they think Rob Zombie's Halloween's like the best movie ever made.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to get comments like that. I really don't pay any attention to it. If I think that they're being like overly negative to us for no reason, I will delete the comment and block them. That's just what I do.
But as far as the comment goes about the carbon copy of the original, man, that argument to me is just, it doesn't hold water because you can't say you can't treat it like it's the original. If the son of a bitch making the film is using all the original ideas, the script, the fucking guy in the, you know, Michael Myers character, the last half of the film is completely like the original Halloween, how am I not supposed to compare it to the original Halloween?
I don't know.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, that was from our buddy Rambo fan. Jesus, we got a lot of people calling here. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Oh, my God. Hey, it's Kim.
Hey, Kim, what's going on?
Oh, not much. I was just eating supper. I thought I'd try and call while I was in the middle.
It's supper time. What are you having?
Yeah. Chicken and rice.
Hell yeah. We just had some fried chicken.
Is it fried chicken? I guess it's probably not if it's got rice with it.
Well, it's kind of grilled on the, I don't know, my husband made it.
Okay.
He kind of fried it, I guess.
So you actually, you're doing the opposite. You got your husband cooking for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I know what you want to talk about. So I actually watched this film just last night. I finished watching it. So I'd like to hear what you've got to say about it. Martyrs, of course.
Yes. Yep, that's what I wanted to talk about. What'd you think?
I'm probably going to watch it again here really, really soon. It's one of those movies kind of like what you were talking about with the email and stuff where it definitely sticks with you after you're done watching it. There's no way you cannot have some sort of reaction to that movie. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to we'll probably do a review on it, so I don't want to give away too much about what I think about it, but...
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, plus we're hopefully going to get an advanced screener copy of Frenchie Martin's Cavaliers, which is...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, that's a new one.
So what did you think?
Well, the French, they're replacing Asian, I think, but in my mind, anyway.
Seems like it. I mean, there's more of these Frenchies coming out, like... Just out of the woodwork, you know, a lot of these movies you haven't heard of, and they just, you know, like Inside, I guess it all started with Inside.
They're all so fierce or something. Martyrs, God. I couldn't get it out of my head. And it's a family joke that mom stalks movies. one time, you know, I just had this habit of, you know, randomly spouting off facts, like a movie will come up and I'll say, oh yeah, that's the same director that did so-and-so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just random stuff like that. And one day my daughter just kind of looks over at me and goes, God, Mom, you stalk movies. Yeah, that's kind of, I thought that was a funny way to put it. So I told Tim, I said, I got to watch that movie again. I have to. I said, because I stalk movies. They do not stalk me. So anyway, I was glad I watched it the second time. It you know, you're able to appreciate it more on a, I guess, artistic level rather than, you know, it coming at you so hard because you don't know what's happening next.
I don't have much to contribute to the conversation because I haven't seen it.
Well, let me just add this to what you're saying. It's basically like three different movies in one movie, first of all. And the last part of the movie is fucking hard to watch. Like, even for me, it was hard to watch. Like, it's one of those movies that almost kind of reminds me of, like, August Underground Penance, trying to watch the shit in that movie, too. But it's nothing like movies like Hostel, where the violence and stuff in it is just for no fucking reason other than the fact he wanted to put it in there. It's much more, there's much more of like a payoff to it. There's actual ending and somebody put some thought into the movie, it seems like.
Oh, right. I mean, there was definitely that whole, you know, undercurrent of something going on there. I don't want to say too much either for people that haven't seen it. But
yeah, I'm guessing we'll probably we're going to review it next week or what?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, cool. I look forward to hearing that.
That's cool.
But, yeah, somebody...
I think in the chat room I said it was like like the first hour is like a real kick-ass roller coaster ride, and then right after that first hour, you know, it's like you slow down, and then it takes you straight to hell.
Yeah, that's a pretty good description of it right there, actually. But
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, old Runk Russell, our buddy, was nice enough to send a DVDR so we could actually review it. So I figured we might as well, since he took the time to send it, we might as well review it.
It's a roller coaster ride straight to hell.
To hell. Okay. Straight to fucking hell.
Oh, but,
well, I'm glad I got through.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. We haven't talked to you in a while, it seems like.
No. Well, yeah, 3 or 4 weeks, I guess. But, anyway, it's always good to talk to you guys.
All right. Well, you keep it creepy, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Take care, ma'am.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Well, let's get Jay Runner back. I was called, like, at least 15 times.
Hello? You're on Deadbeat Radio, it's a sunny land.
Jay Rail here.
Hello, sir.
Hey, Jay.
How are y'all doing?
Fairly well. How are you doing?
It's sunny land and co-hosting with you, Uncle Bill, for the Carlians. CK out tonight?
I'm talking about my new movie, Sunny Land, them Gags and Ramsey.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, what's going on in Mahia, Texas, sir?
Absolutely nothing. If you're talking about Mahia, Texas, then that would be Dick. that's what's going on.
Okay.
Not literally. Well, some people may be, you know, I don't know. But, I don't want to get into that. But, at least nothing going on this end, you know, as far as this actual part of Texas.
Anna Nicole Smith still dead.
She's still dead that I know of, as far as I know.
Oh, God.
I haven't seen her at the Crispy Chicken, unless she's actually been deep fried.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, she might be the Crispy Chicken.
She could be, yeah.
Mm. No, I just called in. I know this is kind of an open topic thing, but I miss out on any kind of current news. Or is there something current afoot as far as the horror community, something newsworthy or something that's
unfortunately, really, there's really not that much. I mean, this has been a slow last couple of weeks for films in general. I mean,
I guess one of the big things we were talking about earlier was the Fright Night remake, which has finally been confirmed.
I just read about that.
Yeah.
You know, I just sort of ignore remakes. I really do. I'll watch them on DVD. I very, very rarely will watch them in a theater unless they've got some, you know, buzz about them and such. You know, I'll almost never check them out in a theater. If I'm going to watch them, it's going to be on DVD. But it don't bother me anymore. I don't care. I ignore them, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like I was telling somebody the other day, it's going to be like here in about 10 years, you're not going to have much stuff to remake, it doesn't look like to me.
So. Well, they're really digging deep into the well, you know, with some of the movies that they're remaking. Some
Mother's
really obscure
Day
stuff.
One.
Yeah. We were talking about they're doing one of Mother's Day, which is an old trauma film. I don't know if you've ever seen that one, Jay.
I think I've seen Mother's Day. It's been, you know, I was VHS years, but I mean, it's been forever since I've seen it. But yeah, I've seen Mother's Day. Just some of the stuff they're remaking is some stuff that most people never heard of to begin with, you know, as far as... So
I guess the one that took me the most by surprise, it was one of those moments where I was like, what the fuck was the Videodrome remake? I just don't understand the concept behind wanting to remake that movie.
I guess you could say that with all the reality shows and things like that that are so prevalent now and such, they're so just, you know, regular life that you can make a statement about that, you know, with a Videodrome remake,
yeah,
sort of like set it in that sort of,
oddly
know,
enough,
realm.
Though, he kind of made a statement about that, you know, 20 some years ago when it came out. I mean, he kind of predicted the future in a way.
I'll tell you one though, and I'm surprised that we haven't heard much on this in a while. And you could, not with this guy that was attached to it, but I could see a remake of that actually working this day and age would be Bob Clark's Death Dream. They were talking about Eli Roth was actually attached to that a couple of years ago. I haven't heard anything about that in a while, but I think that would be because not a lot of people know about that movie. I don't even know how many people that are even hardcore horror fans that have actually seen it, you know, so I think it would be a pretty good choice for a remake.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I've seen it. I, you know, I'm, and that's another one that's so, I guess, under the radar as far as an old film, like you said, that a lot of people probably never heard of or have never seen, that it's not going to raise a big stink if they remake it, you know. But I think the only reason to remake a movie is, I'll have to backtrack. I can't think of a really good reason to do it. But if you're going to do it, it should be that you've got some new voice to use. I don't know what to say. a new twist on it or something. You know, like there's very few that actually are notable. Of course, the Thing remake. I like the Dawn of the Dead remake. There's very few. I really personally like the Fly remake. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you've got your own vision that you can put into the movie, otherwise it's just money. It's just doing it just for money. It's the only reason why you're doing it.
How about this? How about a Dawn remake with Dakota Fanning and CG?
Well, I'll tell you this, that you bring that up. Speaking of Dakota Fanning, back when I first saw I Am Sam, when she was just 8 or 9 years old,
mm-hmm.
I had some people kind of talking to me about, you know, you're ever going to remake this. It'd be cool to remake that if you had some money, you know. And after I saw that movie, I said, well, there's Dawn right there. There's
there
the remake.
There you go, right there.
But of course, she's what, 16 or whatever, how old she is.
She's a little bit old now. I don't know who the new up and coming, like, her child
actually,
story
though, her sister. Who I think her name is Ella or something.
I thought
it'd
be Rhode Island Dakota or Rhode Island Fanning or something like that.
Now, she looks like a younger version of Dakota Fanning. I think that she was in the Benjamin Button movie.
How about you get one of them little Indian kids from Slumdog Millionaire? You put them in it.
Yeah, there you go. Or get someone that's you know, stunted in growth. Though, you know, if it takes 3 or 4 years to make, it's not going to make a difference, you know.
Mm-hmm. In the Dawn remake, though, it could be set in Saudi Arabia.
there was someone that had made a joke a long time ago, said, you know, if you got to remake it, you got to get Tony Orlando as John.
As Dawn, yeah.
Orlando, there you go, Tony Orlando again. Tony Orlando and Dawn. I'll be here all week. Anyway, what I wanted to tell you, before I go and take too much of your time, I wanted to tell a real quick, I think it's a funny story. Funny to me. From Texas Frightmare Weekend, and I had made a video yesterday of this, and of course it was too long, and I had forgot about there's a time limit if I'm going to post it myself, you know, I posted things on your guys' channel.
Yeah.
But it was like 20 minutes. I can't talk less than 30 usually, so it was a big, I thought it was a big, a big deal to actually do something under 30 minutes, but it was still too long, and I wasn't even thinking about it. But anyway, I had told a story about talking to Karen Black on the phone, real quick cell phone call that was, you know, staticky, and she was having trouble, you know, getting through, and says, well, just send me the information. Well, I had already sent the information about Dead Pit and who I was and all that, my connection to Dead Pit and trying to get an interview done and all that. And so anyway, at the convention itself, and this was Sunday when I was kind of scouting around to see if I could pick up some interviews, you know, it's not as busy, of course, on Sunday. And I walk up to her table. She didn't have anybody at her table at the moment. And I'm about to open my mouth to ask her about maybe doing an interview. And the first thing out of her mouth is, what nationality are you? And I said, ma'am? She goes, you look like you got a little black person in you with that hair. And I said, well, no, I'm my mother and father's kid. And she goes, you're in kind of, I guess, trying to make a joke. She goes, your mother didn't have a liaison with the milkman or something, did she? I said, no. She goes, well, you have a very unusual look. You know, I don't mean that as an insult, but I said, well, I've been told this before. She goes, are you albino? I said, no, ma'am. I'm not albino because I'm wearing the shades. You know, I wear the shades pretty much all the time because of glare and stuff, you know. And I said, so I had pretty much just swallowed any, you know, other conversation about an interview because I was so taken aback by this discussion, you know. So I kind of moseyed over to her son, you know, what's her son's name? Hunter Carson, you know, the kid in the Invaders from Mars.
Right.
Had a table next to her. And I kind of moseyed over to him, and I thought, well, you know, and he had nobody at his table, nobody. So I thought, well, I could talk to him. It'd be interesting to hear a story of a kid's point of view working on, I guess, what would have been to him a big movie.
Right.
working with special effects and all that. Whether no matter what you think about the movie, you know, I think it's kind of a fun movie. It's so bad it's funny.
Yeah,
to me.
I enjoy that movie as well, Invaders from Mars.
But anyway, I kind of had a discussion with him about, you know, the making of the movie and working with his mother and working with, you know, what was it, Nurse Ratched, what was her name, Louise Fletcher, yeah. You know, and all that. And so I finally got around to, listen, I'm here for deadpit.com and we do video interviews at these conventions. Would you be up for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes? He goes, well, I'm kind of busy right now and it's just crickets. There's nobody at his table. Nobody.
I'm busy, man.
So he says, well, let me exchange some information with you. And so, okay. And so he gave me his card and I gave him my card and I thought, well, that's that. And so I didn't hear the call, but I wake up yesterday morning and I see there's a voicemail on my cell phone and I call my voicemail and it's Hunter Carson. And he says, hey, Jay, I finally recovered, you know, from the weekend. I kind of needed to recover, you know, from that long weekend, but I'm ready for this interview whenever you want to set it up. And I thought, what does he expect me to do? I think he lives in Texas. I think it's either Dallas or Austin. But, he expect me to go to his house and do this interview?
You've got to do it now, Jay. You've got to go find Hunter Carlson and do this interview with him. You're in Texas.
He left his phone number so I could just pass it along to you guys. You guys can set this. You can do an interview with Hunter Carson, you know. what in the world would you talk about except for Invaders from Mars? And, you know, or your mother, you know, I really enjoyed your mother in Trilogy of Terror and, you know, and, you know,
I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah.
And I think it would be an interesting 5 minutes or so, but, to hear that story of making that movie from a kid's point of view, but beyond that, you know, but I just didn't really know what he expects me to do. I guess he expects me to come to his house.
You got to go to his house, buddy. It's Hunter Carson. He's a big deal out in Texas. You got to find him.
Well, I got his number. I didn't call him back because I didn't know what to say to him. You know, I didn't know. I thought, well, if they hadn't screwed up with the Gcash thing and started charging money for that, I could do that. I could do an audio interview, call, and do a conversation with him. But you know, now that's out of the picture, so I don't know what to do. But anyway, that was an interesting story with Karen Black and her son. interesting conversations with both of them. Yeah. So.
They both sound pretty interesting to me.
Yeah,
I got hair. And I shaved my afro, or didn't shave it. I cut my afro, so I don't have hair like a black person, quote unquote, according to Karen Black.
It really disturbed you, didn't it, Jay?
It didn't really disturb. Well, I've been told this before that I have, you know, black person hair. You know, I'll say that, you know, to be kind and being PC.
Mm-hmm.
That there's another term they use for the kind of hair I had.
Yeah.
But you know, I've been told that before, but just to hear it from Karen Black, for some reason, I found kind of disconcerting. And amusing at the same time.
Yeah, the only thing worse would have been if, like, Dee Wallace would have said, that would have crushed the dream or something there.
Well, first I had to hear like a black person, and then I was an albino, and I don't know where she was going to go beyond that. But I kinda,
yeah, and we all know Karen Black's really one of the most stable, horror celebrities out there. So.
Yeah, man. But we appreciate you calling in, though. And I guess we could briefly mention that you got some Dawn T-shirts. We actually got a couple of them in ourselves, and they're great looking T-shirts. So we got to.
Well, yeah,
that
that's of course thanks to Joe, of course, T-shirt Joe, and what is it, Fast Custom Shirts? Is that the name of his business? You know, of course, he does great stuff, and of course, you CK designed some stuff that he made, and. He just did that so quick, that design just, it's based on a poster design that Ray did that we had hanging up at the convention. And I just sent him, you know, that image and a couple of more images and just let me know what you can come up with. And I went to Pizza Hut with a friend of mine like 30 minutes later and got a call from him. So I got it ready. And he had emailed it to me and, you know, but anyway, yeah, you can go to Show Your Crap on the Dead Pit boards and see the design. And
yeah, I think you got some limited quantities right now, so if people want to get in on these shirts, they need to act quickly.
Yeah, up to XL is $15, and that includes the shipping. And beyond, you know, if you have like a 2XL or 3XL, that $2 or $3 more. But anyway, you can IM me or message me, and if you're interested in that. But yeah, they're great shirts, and I love the design. And thanks to Joe, he knows his stuff.
I actually got one of those shirts now, Jay. I'll be styling and profiling in
that at the conventions.
Good. So. If I can't show up at the Kentucky convention, then Dawn can show up here.
Hell yeah. Sounds good. Well, man, it's good talking to you, and we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Okay, guys.
Take care, Jay.
Hearing me ramble.
All right. See you.
Bye-bye.
See you, sir.
That was Jay Real. The real deal.
Jay fucking Lethal.
So last thing we got here, and then we may take one more phone call. What do you think, Uncle Bill?
No!
Look, well, you can't hate on all our fans. People like us.
I'm a player hater, fool. Let's go.
From Heath Hartsfield. And we got this via email, Uncle Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I see that this week's email and call-in portion of the show is on any subject, and it's going to be like that every week, Heath. Because I would like to discuss the top 10 best horror films and top 10 worst horror films of this decade. So I'm just going to go through these real quick, and he wants to get our thoughts on his list, I think. Top 10 best. Number 1, Inside. Number 2, Martyrs. Number 3, The Devil's Rejects. Number 4, The Girl Next Door. The horror film, not the comedy. Number 5, May. Number 6, August Underground's Penance. Number 7, Pan's Labyrinth. Number 8, Grace. Number 9, Black Devil Doll, which we're going to be reviewing a little bit later. Number 10, Repo the Genetic Opera. Now, top 10 worst. Creepshow 3. Murder Party is number 2. Number 3 is Hostel. Number 4 is Teristas. Number 5 is Them. Number 6 is Machine Girl. Number 7 is Frankenstein's Bloody Nightmare. Number 8, The Black Christmas Remake. Number 9, Hatchet. And number 10, The Halloween Remake.
Hmm.
So he says, there are films, in my opinion, that have been the best, worst of this decade. What are your thoughts and opinions on these, sirs?
Honestly, I agree with all of the worst ones, really. I mean,
Black Christmas Remake was bad, but I don't think it was anywhere near like the top 10 worst.
On the top 10 best, I've never seen Grace. I've seen all the rest of them, I think.
Is that the Grace Jones story?
Yeah, that's the Grace Slick biography. I honestly wouldn't have put Repo in there, though. That's one of those movies where I guess you either take it or leave it, you either like it or you hate it, but I just did not like that movie, Repo. It didn't work to me as a cult film, and it didn't work to me as a musical, and it didn't work to me as a regular film either, or an opera, or whatever the hell it's supposed to be.
It's a crazy film.
No.
So, let's try to take one more last phone call, and then we'll call it a night.
Hello, you're on Deadbeat Radio. Who's this?
What are y'all doing?
Hey, Deidre, how are you?
Good. How are y'all?
Hey, we're doing pretty good now that you called.
Yeah, we're talking to everybody from Texas today.
You're talking to everybody from Texas?
Yeah, Jay Real just called in a little while ago.
Hello, man.
So what are you doing?
So, what's been going on?
And not a whole lot. We're just doing the show.
What's been going on? Hello?
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 Hi.
How are you?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
So, Gabriel just called?
Yeah, he told us to tell you hi. He's down in Mahia, Texas. I'm not sure how close that is to you.
Oh, Mahia?
Yeah.
I think it's about a couple hours, maybe an hour and a half, or 2.5 hours, maybe.
Oh, okay. Not too far, then, because I know that some areas in Texas are like, 8 or 9 hours from each other.
Oh, yeah. You can be that far. Yeah. But,
so have you seen anything good lately? Has anything floated your boat?
I watched Cold Prey. Have y'all heard of that?
Heard of it. I haven't seen it, though.
I think it's like a Danish or some kind of movie like
Danish.
That.
Danish? That's going to make me hungry.
Danish. But I didn't watch it with the subtitles. I should have, but my husband was watching it, and he's like, I'm not watching it with the subtitles. So.
Yeah. I don't like it with subtitles either. I don't like to read.
Yeah, that's what he said. I can't watch the movie if I'm reading, so that was pretty good.
We'll have to check that one out. Yeah, I know there's a big uprising of these French horror films. Have you checked any of those out?
Oh, French?
Yeah.
No.
Stuff like Inside and Martyrs is a new one that everyone's talking about. And what else?
Martyrs.
Cavalier is another one that is coming out soon.
Yeah. I saw Martyrs. I was at Blockbuster, and I was thinking about getting it, but I do want to see Inside. I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, you'll have to check that out, and that's one. A lot of people saying that is the best movie this decade so far.
All right.
I don't know if it was that good. It was a good movie, though.
Well, we had fun at the convention. That was awesome.
Oh, shit, yeah. We definitely wanted to ask you about that. Was this a better experience this year than last?
Yes, much better. And my thing was, like, you know, I liked Friday the 13th. You know, it was okay. It wasn't, like, my favorite movie of all time, but the new one. And I met Derek Mears, and he is so amazingly nice. Like, he constantly had a smile on his face. And he had, like, these rosy cheeks, and he would just smile, and he was just incredibly nice.
He's like Santa Claus with a machete or something.
I can imagine him being mean. Like, if I knew, like, if I was in that movie, it'd be hard for me to actually get scared as his victim. Because I would know how he is, like, you know, without everything on. And
I can't remember, was Tom Savini at that show again?
No.
Okay.
I like how you said that, though. No. Shit on that guy.
But I did meet Toby Hooper. That was my main person to meet. And he had, like, this little, I guess, because that swine flu stuff. He had, like, a sign that says no shaking hands. And then he had, like, sanitizer on his table. So I didn't even want to ask him for a picture with him because I was like, well, if he doesn't want to shake, then he's definitely not going to want me to stand right next to him. So I just got him to sign a picture, and he was nice. And then he went to the restaurant and was drinking wine with some lady, and so I got a picture of him at the restaurant.
I can imagine Toby Hooper's a big fan of the alcohol for some reason.
He was drinking red wine. And this was at lunch.
Yeah, and he probably, you know, slipped some roofies in that girl's drink, too. No,
I met a lot of cool people. Marilyn Burns, she was great. I can't believe, I didn't realize she was that short.
Yeah, she's a little pocket-sized woman. She's nice, though.
She's so tiny. I was, like, standing next to her, and I was, like, looking down at her going, wow. you don't notice it from the movie, but.
Yeah, did you happen to go up to Adrienne King and talk to her at all?
No, I didn't get a chance. Like, a lot of people, when I went through, they weren't at their table. Like, I didn't even see. I went totally blank.
Adrienne King.
What's her name from The Exorcist?
Oh, Linda Blair. Yeah.
Linda Blair. I didn't even see her the whole time. Every time I went by her table, she had a sign up that said, be back in 15 minutes, or 10 minutes, or whatever. But she would never be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
She has to go out and walk her dogs or something.
Yeah, she sneaks around and eats ham sandwiches and stuff when people aren't around.
Well, it was funny because we met a guy there, and he was really, that was his main thing to meet her, right? So he was in her line, and he was telling us this story. Like, him and some other people, they were in the line to meet her because there was a sign to be back in 10 minutes. So they're like, yeah, we'll wait, you know. So they're standing there, and he said about 30 minutes later, they're still standing there, and he's like, huh. So they ended up writing on the sign, be back in 10 minutes-ish. Like, just like it could be any time between 10 minutes and 2 hours, you know. But yeah. I never even saw her.
Huh. Well, that's
every
strange.
Time, and I went in there several times, and she was always gone, but.
I encourage anybody out there, does anybody have a good story about Linda Blair? Because I've never really heard one yet. I hear a lot of bad stories, never hear a good story about her.
I mean, I would have liked to have met her, but never saw her.
Well.
Now, who else was the... Alice Cooper was the big one, right? Did you try to meet him, or was that not...
Well, he had his own room, and I heard it was always crowded, so I didn't even try to go in there. Because, okay. I mean, I like him, but it's not like... Oh, yeah, I got to have his autograph.
Right.
But I would have liked to have got it, you know.
I'm sort of the same way. I mean, I like the guy's music and everything, but I'm not going to stand in line for 5 hours to get his autograph or meet him.
Yeah. And I saw him the day we were leaving was Sunday, and we were sitting out in the lobby, and his room was right by the lobby, and I was fixing to go in there because, like, nobody, like, it was at the very end, like, And I was walking up there to the line. There was nobody in the line, and I was walking up, and they had the doors open, and I was walking up, and all of a sudden they closed the doors. That when I was walking up, I was like, dang, because I could have just walked right in and got it.
Well.
But he had a big tour bus and everything out there.
But, yeah, I mean, it sounds like overall, though, you had a lot more fun this year than you did last year. So.
Yeah, and I wasn't as shy.
So nobody.
Like I was kind of shy last year because I never went to one, so I was kind of just—I would not even talk to them. I just walk up and go hi, and that was about it, you know. Or hi, how are you? And that would be it. I wouldn't say anything about their movie. I wouldn't, you know, say hey, I love you in this one because I was shy. And then this year I was like, you know, just talking away.
So
I was probably like, leave my table.
What did you buy down there? Did you buy anything aside from the standard autographs and stuff?
Yeah, we met this cool dude. We were sitting in the bar, and his name is Troy Holbrook. I don't know if I've ever heard of him.
Sounds like somebody from around here.
Yeah.
He's not an actor. He does special effects photos for, like, crime scenes and all his photos. And he can make, I mean, he does special effects on people. But all his photos look so real, like dead people. Like, you would walk up on a crime scene.
Wow.
And we were talking to him in the bar, and he said, have y'all been by my table? And I was like, no, I haven't heard it. You know, I didn't know you had a table in there. And so we were talking for a while, and then he said, well, y'all come by tomorrow. I'll give you a free thing of cards, which the cards are like 12 cards for $8 or something, but they're each card has a different photo that he did, you know, a makeup thing of a dead person. But it's not really a dead person. You know, he just made them look dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes up a story on the back of the card about what happened to the person, how they died, and all this. And he was making up a girl when we were going by his table, and, like, her arm, he made some kind of weird thing come out of her arm. It looked really cool.
Cool.
He's cool. I didn't expect to meet him. He's really cool. And, of course, all the guys from last year and, you know, friends I met last year were there.
Right.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And,
did y'all get my pictures?
Yeah, well, I was going to mention that, too. You actually, I'm guessing you took these in, at Texas Frightmare Weekend, too, right?
Do what?
Did you take the photos at the hotel? For the
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. So, yeah, I mean, go ahead and talk about that, because those will, hopefully those will be up on the website by this weekend.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I took one with your Dead Pit on the Road thing, and then your t-shirt. And did you see my little scary doll? That was my little phone doll.
We did, yeah.
Yeah. Looked like
I bought her up there. I bought her there, and I named her Bonita. She's Bonita.
Bonita.
Casa Bonita.
Bonita.
Oh, shit.
Oh, cool.
So I had a lot of fun. And
well,
have y'all seen any good movies?
Well, recently watched Martyrs, and we were talking about that a little bit, and I highly encourage anybody to go out and watch that film.
You know, I almost got that today. I did.
Yeah,
I saw it, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll get it next time. But, yeah, I'll definitely get it now.
Yeah, I'll say this about it, though. I've never seen another film like that. For good or for bad, I've never seen another film like that.
Right.
So,
and we're going to be... reviewing Black Devil Doll on the show this week, too, so you have to...
Yeah, you got to check out Black Devil Doll.
Yeah,
we'll have to... gosh, we want to see that. Oh, that's so funny. Black Devil Doll.
But, we appreciate you calling in. I guess you're going to be the last caller this week. So,
alrighty.
It was,
well, hey, and I mentioned something about maybe if y'all want me to start reviewing movies or anything, you can email me about it.
Okay.
Because I know y'all have a lot of movies and you don't have time to watch everything, so... I told Jay Real to tell y'all that I would be
awesome.
Interested in seeing how I'd go about doing that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll send you an email about it.
All righty.
All right.
Y'all have a good one.
Well, good talking
to you. You too, Deidre. Bye.
You too. Bye.
That's our good buddy, Deidre.
She's always a spirited, nice woman.
And, yeah, she's submitted a bunch of photos. You can check them out. Hopefully sometime this weekend, the lady's a dead pit. She's going to have her own little section on there, Uncle Bill. Isn't that neat?
There's going to be a whole section of women on there.
Woo, baby. Women that love dead pit. So,
I can't believe there's women that love dead pit, but okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We got DVDs to get to and a bunch of announcements to make. So Without further ado, though, we do have a new rant, Uncle Bill, from our good buddy.
It's Rambo's Rants.
Hey, this is Matt once again, and welcome to another edition of Rambo's Rants. And today, I didn't want to rant about horror films because, let's be honest, the main thing to rant about horror films is remakes, and everybody always talks about it, including me, and we all know it sucks, and there's nothing we can do about it, so there's no point to it. It's just no surprise anymore. So I wanted to rant about, it's Monday night when I'm recording this, and it's a shitty day at work, so I want to rant about the workplace, specifically my workplace. I don't know about your workplace, but everybody can relate to this. We all, whether you like your job or hate your job, you know there's always those little things that will just get stuck in your crawl and you want to bitch about it. Only this time, I got a way to bitch about it to you guys. If you don't like it, fuck you, because you don't listen, bitch. Anyway, for those who don't know, I work at a video store. Now, it's Monday night. Early on in Monday morning, I mean, this is one instance to bitch about. Monday morning, whoever works there, they put up the empty cases for the movies that come out tomorrow, on Tuesday. In this instance, it's Taken with Liam Neeson, which I will say is a really good movie. I want to put that out there. But, you know that movie Clerks with Kevin Smith? I thought some of that stuff was just, come on, people are not that dumb, right? Wrong. Kevin Smith, I mean, he worked at his, you know, convenience store. He really knew what he was talking about. Because, okay, the cases that we are put up Monday morning for movies that are coming out tomorrow, they clearly say there are four signs just on the movie Taken. Four signs right in front of it. And hot pink signs, real bright. And in big letters, not small letters, big letters, they say available Tuesday. And it happens every week. But what happens? Woman comes up. She goes, hey, do you guys have any copies of Taken? Oh, it doesn't come out till tomorrow, Tuesday. But you have some on the shelf. I know that, but there are signs on there that says available Tuesday. Well, that's kind of stupid. And I'm like, well, I apologize. You know, because you have to be nice. You can't be an asshole. You want to be, but you can't. So I apologize, but yeah, it comes out tomorrow. She can't get through her head. It's like, but the case is out there. And you just, in my head, I'm thinking, bitch, fucking listen. Okay? It says it, four fucking signs, bright as can be, in front of your fucking fat face, saying available Tuesday. What the fuck do you think that means? But, you know, I say, you know, they're available tomorrow, and then she goes, well, I thought that meant last Tuesday. And I'm thinking, she did not just say that, right? First I thought it was she didn't read it, but she did read it. She thought that we left those signs up there for a whole goddamn week, that it came out last Tuesday. I'm like, lady, are you crazy? Are you fucking insane? Are you just an idiot and your mom and dad should not have fucked and given birth to your sorry ass? Is that mean? Yes, I'm cranky as fuck. Anybody's cranky as fuck after a shitty day at work. But at the same time, I go, well, I'm sorry, ma'am. But yeah, it's a good movie, and it comes out tomorrow. And of course, she leaves. I'm thinking, why is it that it says available Tuesday right in front of you in bright letters, and people are so dumb, so like a Neanderthal, that they can't figure it out? Did Hooked on Finance not work for them, or what the fuck? Another thing, kids. I'm just going to do two things and then I'm going to cut off. Kids, I'm starting to hate kids. I don't want kids for the rest of my natural fucking life. If you have kids, that's cool. But don't bring them to the fucking video store. Don't bring them to any store. Because all they do is whine and cry. I want this movie, I want this movie. They'll take candy and open it, and then their mom and daddy won't pay for it. And then you got a bitch about them to it. And this is the kicker. Parents come in. They have like kids 2-3 years old. They let them run around like the fucking nursery. Like it's a goddamn nursery. And you goddamn right I'm doing Tourette's syndrome because this is stupid. They let their kids run around. Go into the kids section. I swear to God, this happened today. One little kid pulled down just put in a little pile in the corner all of these kid cases. There were about 10, 15 cases all mixed up in a corner. And the mom was on the other side of the store. Now think about that. Of all the shit, like, kids could be taken, stolen, kidnapped, hurt, whatever. And so many times the mom and dad just piss off and then their own little world. And little kid, they let the little kid do whatever the fuck she wants. She'll take one case and then she'll fuck off with it. And, you know, as an employee, before you can leave, you have to make sure that all the cases are there, you know, all the movies are there. And if you can't find a case, you don't know where it's at. You gotta spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes just trying to find the fucking thing. I have to literally go to this woman and I go, ma'am, you might want to come here because she's taking down all the movies. And it's like, come on, I work at a video store, fine, that's cool, I like the job. But I'm not a fucking babysitter. For fuck's sake, it's just like when they bring kids to the movie theater. Just fucking leave them alone. Just tell them to sit down and shut up. If you're gonna bring your kids, watch their ass. Or teach them about not fucking with other people's property. For crying out loud. Fucking kids and fucking stupidity of people. That's just two things. And I know this is going on to 7 minutes almost. I know this is going on too long, but it's hard to end. So I'm just going to cut off. Like I said, when you go to a store, A, read. Learn how to fucking read. And use your brain. And number two, don't bring your fucking kids. And if you do, watch them like a parent. For fuck's sake. Don't let them go around taking all sorts of candies, movies, messing around like there's a goddamn playpen. But I'm just going to cut off here because I know I'm going too long. But it's just, if people like it, I can bitch a lot more about the video store. So thanks for watching another edition of Rambles Rants. And all I can say is, kids, fuck you!
Welcome back, folks, to Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm Uncle Bill. Hi, how are you?
That's a hell of a call-in portion, wasn't it, Uncle Bill?
It was entertaining and enjoyable.
Ooh, baby.
So guess what time it is, buddy? It's your favorite time of the show where you get to make a bunch of announcements.
I've got a bunch of great announcements to make, folks. First of all, you got to check out the lovely ladies of Dead Pit section. Like we said, we're going to have two new ladies on there, Uncle Bill, that have gave us photos that are fans of the show.
That's right, buddy. You got it.
We already mentioned Deidre, who is going to have a whole gallery of photos. She sent us a whole bunch. We also have one more that we haven't talked about.
Good friend of the show has sent me more shit than I can possibly ever repay her for sending.
Ooh, baby.
Has a wonderful magazine called Blood Type Magazine, which you can get for free, by the way. It's one of the only magazines I know of that anybody puts any real effort into that you can get absolutely for free just by request. It's Daner.
Daner. So we got that for you. Like we said, you can go buy our t-shirts. J-Real actually has a t-shirt for Dawn now that we'll be showing at conventions, and we'll be having it on our chest pieces.
Yeah. I've got a Dawn t-shirt now. I never thought I would say that sentence. But I've got a Savage Street t-shirt and a Dawn t-shirt.
And a Lunch Meat t-shirt.
And I can die fucking happy now.
No, you got one more you need to get, and that's Crazy Fat Ethel.
That's true.
And you can get that at FastCustomShirts.com.
Crazy Fat Ethel is one of the greatest films in the pantheon of films that no one knows about. So buy some shirts from FastCustomShirts.com and especially support Crazy Fat Ethel.
Indeed. Some new stuff we need to talk about because we just did this commentary. It's one of the best commentaries we've ever done, no doubt about it. You fans demanded it last week, so we did it. It is George A. Romero's Creepshow, the feature commentary you can enjoy with Creepy Kentucky and Uncle Bill.
Yeah, it's it's a pretty good commentary. It's a seamless commentary. I think it's different from a lot of the other commentaries because this is more like us having fun than it is anything else.
Because this is sort of like, you know, five mini movies, you know. So you can't really, you know, there's not a whole lot of stories to be told, you know, compared to a whole movie. But I think it did come off really well, so hopefully you guys will like it. If you guys haven't checked out our other commentaries, we have like Friday the 13th, 1 and 5. We have Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, Troll 2, you know, Halloween, Halloween 6. We got a ton of shit on there people can check out. And if you like this show, you know, via PayPal, you can spend $3 and listen to another. It's really like a bunch of other separate shows that's sort of interactive. I mean, you can enjoy with us from, you know, for years to come.
Yeah, so go check that out. What about YouTube stuff? Is there anything new about YouTube videos? Anything going on?
See,
I don't have anything new. I know what.
Well, since the fans did ask for it, I think we need to bring On the Road back a week early. We were going to do for Terminator Salvation. But since there's such an uproar about this new Star Trek movie, how great it is, we were talking about it. We could do that. We could do it On the Road for Star Trek.
Let me let y'all in on a little secret. I don't really like Star Trek.
I don't either.
The only Star Trek movie I ever liked was Part 6, The Undiscovered Country. Because
I've never ever even watched a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, because it was on HBO all the time when I was a kid. But there's all this hype about this movie. We got to go see this movie. It's got Simon Pegg in it. Of course, you remember him from Shaun of the Dead. So
he plays Scotty.
We got to see this, at least because of the hype and the fact that a lot of people we know have seen it multiple times now. So we'll go and see it and report to you if it's really worth all this fucking hype.
Indeed. Plus, that guy looks hilarious as Spock.
He does, yeah. It's so like we'll an emo Spock.
We'll have that for you this weekend, free of charge on YouTubes. And we also have a lot of the Diary of the Dead Pit stuff. And, you know, I don't know how many hours of entertainment we have that's free for you guys. So, check all of it out.
Yeah. So, let's go ahead now. Get into the movie review portion of the show. I guess up first, we'll talk about a film that we were both split on this film when we saw it in theaters not too long ago. This is Lionsgate's My Bloody Valentine 3D that actually comes in 3D with 3D glasses. Has four pairs of 3D glasses with.
And the guys from Chud.com call it the best 3D horror film ever made.
And I don't even know how to judge that. I've never even seen 3D horror films, you know.
But My Bloody Valentine 3D, I mean, if you've seen the original My Bloody Valentine, there's not a big difference. I mean, it's really, 90% a direct remake of the original movie. I mean, the only thing that sort of changed is they don't have the Valentine Day dance, which is sort of how they set up the whole story of Harry Warden in the first one.
That was sort of the whole mythology about the story, though, was that he would come back to... Harry Warden is this miner who was killed in a... was supposedly killed in a mine explosion. And after he... what was it? He got trapped in this corridor with this group of guys. Yeah. The oxygen ran out, and he started eating all of them to survive or something of that effect.
Yeah, and the town... The whole story where the dance comes from in the original is... A lot of the, I guess, the rescue workers and stuff were at that Valentine's Day dance,
right,
dancing away as he was gasping for
much
his
like
last breath.
The camp counselors in Friday the 13th were, you know, busy screwing while Jason was drowning and all that shit. So it's the same type of story. So in this one, you basically just have like the Harry Warden character is kind of secondary to what's going on in the film. It's like a love triangle between this sheriff of the town and what was it, this other girl's like love interest from
when they were teenagers.
Yeah, so the film starts off with them going down into the mines to have this big party and stuff at the beginning of the film, and after all the Harry Warden stuff is already over with and they think that he's dead and all this different stuff, so they go down into the mines, they're having this party. And this guy in a fucking miner's outfit shows up and starts butchering everybody. So this group of kids, their friends all die, but they get away, and it's like so many years later, and one of them went insane, apparently, and one of them is now the sheriff of this small town, and what does the girl do? I can't even remember. The girl that's married to
the sheriff. I don't even know if they say what she does. She just blows him for a living.
She holds dick for a living.
Yeah, it's played by Jamie King, who's like one of the best looking women ever live, no doubt. And, but yeah, I mean, and then the whole movie from that point is your question, who is the killer? Is it the sheriff or is it Tom, who recently came back to town, you know, after his run-in with Harry Warden years earlier? And,
yeah, I guess that's a good point to mention is that, in the film, in the first part where they're all down there having the party or whatever, he actually comes face to face with the killer and barely survives and
sees,
is traumatized by that.
Harry Warden murdered right in front of him.
Right.
And by police officers, one of them being Tom Atkins, which it was awesome seeing Tom Atkins in a feature. He had a pretty big role in this movie, you know.
He did, amazingly.
And, you know, without giving anything else away, I'll just say if you've seen the original movie, you'll know the ending of it. Okay, they don't change that at all. There's a little bit of a twist ending, but if you've seen the original, it's not a twist. You're sort of expecting it.
So, in the middle of the film, the middle portion of the film, there's some good death scenes. One of the most notable ones I can remember, there's a scene where Todd Farmer and one of the girls that actually escapes from the original massacre thing, and she's naked throughout the entire film. She's butt-ass, complete full frontal naked.
Good-looking woman, too.
Yeah. And she's running around naked, and she gets killed. And Todd Farmer, who's, you know, the writer of Jason X, we were talking about him earlier, gets, like, a pickaxe in the top of his skull and everything. And the really cool thing about that is that I was talking about this before. Gary Tunnicliffe actually did the makeup effects for the film. And if you watch the special features disc, it's amazing the stuff that guy creates and how realistic it looks. The only problem is he created all this wonderful practical makeup effects stuff, all this latex stuff, and then they put CG out the ass in it to make it look, it looks ridiculous after they
makes it pop off the screen.
I guess in some cases they have to though, because it has to be in 3D, so they have to throw pickaxes at the screen and make it look like they're coming at you and stuff.
But I know that we disagreed in this movie before. I mean, look, is it something that's going to reinvent the horror genre? No. I just saw it as a fun movie. I mean, you know, it's not like, I didn't expect it to be like an 80s slasher movie, but I was surprised in how much it was like, you know, the classic slasher years. I mean, the big difference was the CG, but overall, I just liked it. I mean, it was one of those movies I could see myself watching again just for the fun of it. And I thought it was cool seeing Tom Atkins back in the movie, back in movies again, I guess. And, I just always liked the look of the killer in the My Bloody Valentine movies. And they didn't change that at all. He looks exactly the same as he did in the original film. Which is cool. He has the gas mask and the miner's cap, the miner helmet with the light and stuff, so, and he has the pickaxe.
I guess my biggest problem with this movie is I didn't like the two lead guys in the film. I thought they were both, well, I had a lot of problems with this movie, but as I was watching it again, that was my biggest concern. I guess it's, who are the two lead guys?
I know, Kerr Smith was one of them. He was actually in Final Destination.
Jensen Ackles, maybe? Yes, Tom Haniger. They suck, man. You can't deny that. Yeah. As far as like acting and stuff goes, the sheriff was horrible. The other guy was all right, but it was just.
Yeah, but I mean, shit. Who the hell watches movies like this for acting?
Well, it's noticeably bad, though. You can't just deny when something's noticeably bad. Plus, the CGI did kill a lot of the effect scenes for me. Like, and even more so when you look back and see the stuff that he created. Like I was saying that. It just looked amazing. They had to do that shit with it. But actually watching it this time, though, on DVD, it didn't bother me as much as when I watched it in the theater. I don't know if that was because I paid to watch it in the theater and that made me even madder, or if it was just, and this was free, or what it was about seeing it a second time, but it wasn't as bad.
Some movies grow on you a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It was still bad. It wasn't as bad, though. I'll say that.
I thought it was fun. But, I mean, I guess we need to talk about the DVD, which it does have a 3D version of the film, which, you know, I tried to watch about the first 15, 20 minutes of it in 3D. I mean, it worked decent. It worked better than the Friday the 13th 3 in 3D, I think. But the blue and red glasses never really work. I mean, this movie wasn't made for that style 3D. I think that, I don't know why they don't release the real 3D or whatever they use. I don't know why, if it doesn't work, if it's too expensive to make the glasses. I don't know what the deal is, but I just really wish that they would try that. You know, maybe have a deluxe edition that you can buy with glasses, which would be more expensive, but it would be in real 3D. You know, I would probably buy that just to see what it's like.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is when you watch something in 3D, I think you really want to feel like something's coming off the screen at you. I think that's the real reason that I want to watch 3D anyway. And that just never works with those glasses. Nothing ever comes out of the screen. It kind of looks like that it's pushed to the front.
Sort of like a hologram.
Yeah, pushed to the front a little bit more, but nothing ever pops off the screen. So I don't know. I don't see the point really.
But I mean, they give you the option. You know, it's not like they stick you with just the 3D version of the film. You can watch the 2D version as well. It's a 2-disc set, with disc 2 of special features such as Inside, My Bloody Valentine, Sex, Blood, and Screams, deleted scenes, extended scenes, gag reel, and alternate ending. And you actually watched some of the special features on it, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, trying to remember I definitely watched, they're not that long, but they're actually pretty good. The Deep Inside My Bloody Valentine thing. Sex, Blood, and Screams is the one that has Gary Tunnicliffe. It's just all about makeup effects and how they created all the makeup effects in the film. I didn't watch any of the deleted extended scenes, although there is a ton of them on there. The gag reel was okay. The alternate ending, I didn't watch that either. But it's, for a 2-disc set, I have to admit that the documentary featurettes are about 10 minutes, so they're not that long. I don't know, you probably could have put that on one film. I guess they want people to think they're really getting...
It's a deluxe edition.
They want somebody to think they're getting something killer.
So, I don't know. I mean, would you still not recommend the movie or what? I will recommend it. I'm stuck by that. I mean, I think that if you're a fan of slasher films, you at least have to check it out.
I don't think it would hurt to watch this movie. It's just an average movie, though. I mean, I've seen 100 films just like this. I don't get anything out of it. I'll put it that way.
So that is My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Oh, shit.
Didn't take it too long to hit DVD, did it?
No, when it came out.
When did we watch it in theaters?
That's what I was thinking when I got it. I was like, my God, it's only been like 2 months or something since we saw it.
Hadn't been too long at all. I don't remember when this came out. I think it was like the early February something, right?
That's what I thought.
So the last movie we had to review this week is one that a lot of people question whether or not this movie really exists or if it was just some sort of ploy to drive up hits over at Rotten Cotton.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Yeah, the movie does exist. We have seen the movie. It is Black Devil Doll, Uncle Bill. And to describe the plot of this movie...
That'll be easy.
Yeah, because there's, like, the only plot of this movie is you've got a serial killer or something from the 60s.
Right.
Or 70s, who is executed, and through the magic of a Ouija board or something like that, is brought back to life inside of this doll. And all this doll wants to do is kill and fuck white bitches. Yeah.
And that's all you really need to know. I mean, after that, it's like, okay, stripper chick with some big natural titties, starts fucking with a Ouija board, resurrects this guy who, like you said, had been executed many years ago into a doll. That I think he mentioned what kind of doll it was. It came from like a Sears catalog or something like that at one time.
I don't know.
And anyway, it's reshaped to look like it's got a big fro and like a Black Power shirt on and all this stuff. And it's a racist, prejudiced, killer, butt-fucking doll.
He likes fucking white bitches in the ass.
Yeah.
I know that.
So, basically, after the doll's resurrected, it's having a relationship with this woman. And gets to a point where he says he needs some strange, of course, because all black devil dolls need strange.
Right.
So she calls over a bunch of her other, I'm only assuming, can be stripper friends to come over. And there's like, what is there, three or four of them?
I think
there's
three more.
Three more and her?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
maybe
then,
four.
Maybe
yeah,
four.
I don't know.
I think it's four. They come over and he systematically fucks them and then kills them.
That's right.
I swear, there's no more to it than that.
But that's what makes it so great.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's a movie made for us, really, Uncle Bill. The Black Devil Doll was made for us, I think. Because I would say 95% of the movie features hot, naked women in it.
Yeah.
So, what more could you ask for?
Nothing, really. I mean, the puppet in it, first of all, it's a hilarious look right. of the puppet. Now, whoever's doing the voice of it's great because all he ever says is, shut up, white bitch, and all this stuff.
Hey, baby.
Yeah. And there's scenes in this that'll make you fucking...
I'm gonna toss that salad.
Die laughing. Like, see where he eats that chick's ass out in the sound effects?
And his eyes go back and forth, too, when he's doing the... There's another scene in it, too, where it pans down. I guess the Black Devil doll is showing one of the girls his dick, you know?
Yeah.
And they got, like, you got a regular-sized little, you know, ventriloquist doll. And then they stuck it with, like, a big 10-inch black dick, like a dildo or something sticking from it. So that's a great scene as well. And there's another great scene where Black Devil doll actually fucks a white man.
Yeah.
Which is great as well.
Then throws a bunch of cigarettes at him and tells him to go buy something nice. That was killer, though. There's a lot of really memorable scenes in this movie, which mostly just involve, like, Black Devil doll having sex and, you know.
Blowing his load on women.
Women, yeah. To me, though.
Getting peed on.
To me, and I think you would agree with this, the funniest scene is actually after the film is over with.
Yeah.
But.
We can't really talk about that much. But it does involve, we'll say it involves fried chicken.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll just say that. Now, the movie itself, though, I mean, talk about the...
It's not really, let's be clear here. It's only like, what, about 60 minutes long?
Yeah, it's barely an hour long. So, it's a short movie, but it does all it needs to do in that amount of time. I mean, the good thing about it is it never really gets boring. You know, it's one of those movies where, I mean, let's face it, the concept of Black Devil Doll, there's only so much you can do with that, you know.
Yeah,
and he doesn't really try to go beyond that, which is good.
I'll say this. This movie doesn't fuck around. Like, it gets right to it. Like, right from the very first 5 minutes of the film, you see tits. I think about 10 minutes in, you see murder. Like I said, the movie does not fuck around.
I mean, come on.
It just sets it up and knocks it down. It actually rhymed.
Yeah. It's easily, though, the best evil black puppet movie I've ever seen.
That's true. It is. It's better than Gone with the Wind. I'll say that.
Really is. And it's on par, you know, with The Shawshank Redemption and Forrest Gump.
It is, really.
So... That's Black Devil Doll. I mean, I don't really know what else we could say. I don't know if a lot of hardcore horror fans would love this movie simply because I know how uptight some of you guys are.
Well, this movie will piss everybody off.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. There's no real story to it. It tries purposely to offend everybody. Black people, white people, females, strippers. Homosexuals, just about everybody that you can think of, it tries to offend.
I'll tell you another one that I really liked a lot, though, was the scene where, like, Black Devil Doll wants to get more of the white ass, right? So he's talking to his girlfriend, and the girlfriend's like, who would want to have sex with you? You're a, blank puppet, you know.
Right.
And then Black Devil all smacks the fuck out of him. What'd you say, bitch?
Bitch, I'll kill you.
Yeah,
and just saying that is fucking hilarious. So, yeah. Black Devil don't exist, folks. Check it out when it comes out. I know he's hitting the major film festivals this summer. God, I don't imagine how many people would piss off those shows.
Well, he's already got reviews up, which he sends links to people that give him bad reviews, where he basically laughs at them. Here's the thing. It's impossible, really, to give this movie a bad review. Like, anybody that watches this, that listens to our show, it's fucking possible to give this movie a bad review, because it's exactly what it says it is. You know the previews you've seen of it? It's exactly that for 60 minutes. That's all it is.
It's not one of those movies that they, like, let's talk about Adam Green's Hatchet again. I always love talking shit about that motherfucker. It's not a movie that shows you everything good in the previews, and then the movie itself is boring as fuck, like Hatchet. The stuff you've seen in previews is only just the beginning. Just say that. There's a lot more shit to be seen.
Yeah, so I don't know, when is it going to come out? Does he have any ideas? Has he said anything?
I'm not for sure, really. I mean, maybe we can get an update on that. I think that the movie itself is done. We have the finished film. We reviewed it. We'll talk about I thought that the production on the movie was really good, that they did a really good job with that. The credits themselves, I don't know who did that, looked like a mainstream movie, you know, how they did it and shit.
Yeah, the opening credit sequence, that was amazing. It looked like something from a James Bond movie or something.
Yeah.
I hope that, I somehow think that people, like, that are into exploitation films, like Ed and Russ and stuff, will probably really dig this movie as well, so I hope everybody like that gets to see it.
Woo, baby, Black Devil Doll.
So that's all I have to say about it, folks.
So that is it for the show this week. Stay tuned to the Dead Pit MySpace show. It's probably up by Tuesday, and we'll let you know what's up for next week. We've got a couple people we've been talking to. I don't know if we'll have an interview by then or not, but there'll be some crazy-ass interviews. I'll say that.
They calling. We're always talking to a bunch of people, but you just never know.
You just never know. You don't know who's next.
Goldberg.
That's right. So we will be back next week. You can take your fucking phone calls again. We'll be doing that shit, I'm sure. And we'll be always keeping it creepy in Eastern Kentucky, like only we can do.
Here on DeadPit.com.
Oh!